talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you on Civic Radio statewide from Madison, Waukesha, Wausau, and Wisconsin Rapids. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. Well, another one of the interminable Republican lawsuits to try to delay justice. In this case, Republican Congressman Scott Perry of Pennsylvania just sued the Department of Justice to stop them and stop their investigators from breaching and searching his cell phone. What's that all about? Remember, a couple of days ago, he was on vacation with his family. I think it was on the New Jersey shore. And he's walking down the boardwalk. A couple of guys in suits walk up, whip out their IDs, FBI agents, and here's a warrant for your cell phone. Fork it over. Well, he reached in his pocket and forked it over. Otherwise, they would have been justified under the Fourth Amendment because they had a warrant signed by a federal judge to frisk him and take it. And he turned it over. Remember, Scott Perry was the guy, he was in the inner circle with Trump, planning not only the insurrection, but the coup. The idea that Mike Pence would reject the electors, even though 50 governors and 50 secretaries of state had sent them in and certified them. And the majority of them were Republicans, by the way. But the idea was Pence was going to reject them. And then it would be thrown into the House of Representatives. When that happens, it last happened in 1876, Rutherford Hayes and Sam Tilden. Rutherford Hayes was the Republican. In those days, that was the liberal. Sam Tilden was the Southerner, was the Democrat. That was the segregationist. And Sam Tilden got a majority of the electoral votes. But they weren't about, this country wasn't about to turn the country over to segregationists after having fought the Civil War, the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, and 8 years of Ulysses Grant, victorious general in the Civil War. No, they weren't going to do that. So they threw it in the House of Representatives. And one of the peculiarities of the House of Representatives, and Scott Perry knew this, and so did Trump's advisors, was that it's not a normal deal. It's not like Pelosi runs the House of Representatives anymore. There are 50 states, each state gets one vote on which electors should be selected. The one vote is determined by majority vote of the delegation in that state. Well, a majority of the states have Republican majorities in their delegation. Yeah, you have California, New York, I get it. They're majority Democrat, but overall, especially the smaller states, just a couple of congressmen, majority, maybe exclusively Republican. So it would have come out something like 27 states would have said, with their one vote, we want Trump. And 23 states would have said Biden, and Trump would have been president again. That was the deal. Scott Perry met in the White House Christmas week in 2020. He was a key member of this. He is the guy that recommended a change in attorney general to get a compliant attorney general, would give an opinion that this was on the up and up. So they want his phone. Also the fraudulent electors. How did this all happen? Well, he's gone to court to say, okay, you signed a warrant, judge, to let him take my phone, but now they can't look at my phone. What's that all about? Why is he saying that? Well, there's a couple of reasons, but part of it, and this is a thing you'll hear a lot of in the future with Trump and with people like Lindsey Graham, congressional supporters of Trump, and that is the speech and debate clause. What is the speech and debate clause? Speech and debate clause is a clause in the Constitution that says no member of Congress can be held to account for anything that he says or she says in a speech or debate on legislation, on issues in the House or the Senate. And that's a good reason. That's a good cause. Why is that? Because if you had every congressman and every senator subject to a libel lawsuit or to prosecution for something they said on the floor of the Congress, or they said on the floor of the House or the Senate, Congress is both of them together, you'd have nothing but lawsuits all the time from special interests. And wealthy people can bring a lawsuit, and then the government would have to defend them. There'd be nothing but lawsuits, even if they were frivolous. There was one lawsuit that was out of the speech and debate clause. My friend Bill Proxmire, one of the great senators, one of the greatest in Wisconsin history, is my mentor and friend. I really owe a lot to Bill Proxmire, Senator Proxmire. He had the Golden Fleece Award, remember? And he'd say that this was a wasteful thing and that was a wasteful thing. And as long as he said it on the floor of the Senate, nobody could touch him. But he said it in a speech at one point about how there was some research project he felt was wasteful, and he got sued for libel. Well, the government provided the defense and he got out of that, but that's the reason for the speech and debate clause. Well, but the speech and debate clause doesn't cover criminality. It doesn't cover a coup. And what's on this guy's cell phone was not what he said on the floor of the House of Representatives. It wasn't said on the floor. He's trying to stretch it to anything he says. He's trying to say that congressmen are like little gods. They walk around. And Lindsey Graham's using the same excuse in Georgia to not testify. And he's going, you know, I'm a U.S. senator. I'm a little god. I wear a toga. I have a garland on my head like a Roman senator. I lie on a velvet couch. Somebody, damsels, feed me grapes, and I can say whatever I want. Well, that's not the way it works. It's not the way it works. So Scott Perry is doing this. He's largely doing it to delay beyond the November elections, to delay beyond the midterms. Guys, bad news. Remember, did it ever occur to you, Ron Johnson, who is not the sharpest knife in the drawer in our state, had his chief of staff tried to feed Mike Pence Michigan and Wisconsin electors, fake electors. How did he get them? Why did he have Michigan electors? Ron Johnson does not represent Michigan. He doesn't live in Michigan. He got them from a congressman in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, congressmen in Pennsylvania don't represent Michigan or Wisconsin. But Scott Perry is in Pennsylvania, and he was not the guy that fed them. He used an intermediary, another congressman in Pennsylvania. Scott Perry is a black widow spider, one of the people sitting at the center of the coup, the Green Bay sweep, the scam to overturn the elections. And the January 6th committee wants to see what he has on his cell phone. That is done all the time. If this were a narcotics investigation, a drug cartel, if this were a terrorism investigation, it's a no-brainer. And it's a no-brainer for this too, and it's not going to work. So why do these guys file these lawsuits? And then when he loses, why do they file appeals? Why do they file appeals? They do it to delay. Delay is the friend of a defendant, especially a criminal defendant, but even in a civil case. The longer you delay, witnesses' memories erode. Sometimes witnesses pass away naturally, sometimes not naturally. People lose interest. People lose focus. That is why Trump does it, and that is why this guy is doing it. So stand by. My prediction is the judge is not going to say the speech and debate clause, which protects statements on the floor of the Congress, protects you from libel action, also protects your phone when you're whispering criminal conduct to your co-conspirators to do a coup. But I'll tell you this, whatever the decision is, I can guarantee you he's going to appeal it because of delay. And I told you yesterday, I'll tell you again today, even Shakespeare in Hamlet, Hamlet's soliloquy, to be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis better to put up with the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. And he has the law's delay, because a lot of scholars think that Shakespeare, who did not have an education behind what they called grammar school, it wasn't really a high school, but in our system, it would be more rigorous than any of our high schools. He never went to college. He didn't go to Oxford. He didn't go to Cambridge. But he was the greatest poet in history, in my opinion. And people speculate that he had worked as a clerk in a law office. The law's delay. 19th century, Charles Dickens, great novelist, wrote a novel called Bleak House. And he had a fictitious case that they said is very similar to a lot of cases in Britain, Jarndyce versus Jarndyce, that went on forever, over three generations. A lawyer, grandfather, left it in his will, the representation to his lawyer grandson. That is what is going on with Trump and Perry. That is what is going on with Lindsey Graham in Atlanta, Georgia, where he doesn't want to testify before the Fulton County grand jury. Brandy Willis, great DA, is going to drag his carcass in there. The judges are adamant that he do it. He appealed and he went up to the 11th Circuit, conservative circuit, and the circuit overturned it partially. They said, go back and explain exactly why you think you shouldn't answer some of this stuff. Be specific so that when you do testify, there's no doubt as to what you can say and what you are protected from. But remember, what he did is he was in on the extortion of Brad Raffensperger. In that case, the delay he's seeking is not to testify about Trump's call to Raffensperger threatening him with criminal prosecution if he didn't come up with about 500 and, I think it was 11,580 votes, forge them. And then Lindsey Graham, crooked Lindsey Graham, jumped in and jumped on. That's not the speech and debate clause. That's a coup. It's a coup. Speech and debate clause does not involve criminal conduct, and especially when it's done away from the floor of the Senate. In the House, we're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, Ron Johnson did it again. You would think that he would have backed off. Well, he didn't back off. Remember the other day, he had called to make Social Security and Medicare discretionary. Right now, they're guaranteed. You pay in, and you're guaranteed a certain amount back as a pension. Many people, it's the only pension they have. Medicare, after you're 65, most seniors couldn't afford Medicare or medical treatment on their own. And many insurance companies don't want to be insuring folks who are old because they're going to have more medical problems. He also, remember, in the past, Ron Johnson had said Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. Ponzi is named after a guy named Charles Ponzi, who about 90 years ago came up with what he thought was a brilliant idea, and he spent a lot of time in prison as a result of it. What it was Ponzi scheme is you just advertise that you're going to invest folks' money and they send it in. And then you just keep spending it. You can buy a yacht, you buy a mansion, you steal it and stick it in your own bank account. And then when folks go, okay, now I'd like my money returned, you go, fine, and then you repay them out of the new money that keeps coming in. And as long as new money keeps coming in, Ponzi schemes can go on for a while. Well, in the case of Charles Ponzi, the new money didn't come in and he got caught. Bernie Madoff was the same thing. If you recall, Bernie Madoff is a Ponzi scheme. He claimed he was investing folks' money. He stole it. His son stole it. His son committed suicide. and Madoff died in prison. But this money kept coming in. Guy would go, okay, I've given you this money. You made me a nice return. Now give it back. And he'd give it back out of new money coming in. And basically the guys at the end left holding the bag were the last people that sent him money. And Johnson said, Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. Right there, he should not be a senator from Wisconsin. Right there, he should not be a senator from Wisconsin. Franklin Roosevelt put in Social Security in 1935. And the Republicans voted against it. They said that it would rob people of the incentive to work. Hey, wait a minute. People had no money. 1935 was the middle of the Depression. People wanted to work and they couldn't. And guys at 65 years old and women frequently, where are they going to find a job? Where are they going to find a job? Sometimes. In any event, Medicare got put in the 60s. Republicans voted against it. They always vote against it. Then they go, I want to improve it. I want to improve it. Well, Ron Johnson just came out with it yesterday and said, I want to make Social Security and Medicare discretionary. There's any money left over after defense and tax cuts, we'll throw a few bucks at Social Security and Medicare. You can't have that. We're going to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Gene?
Good morning, Matt. I hate to go back to something that you discussed, but I really have to say something about it. You know, what the Republicans did is the crime of the century. I never in my wildest dreams, because I pay attention, you know, to our government and things, ever think we would experience something like this, a criminal activity, highly organized, you know, and cover-ups and utilization of judges' courts so they don't have to testify. I mean, I never even seen mobsters act like this. And it just, you know, and the different states that were involved and the different electors, fake electors. I usually watch, you know, when they vote on electors, you know, at our Capitol in the state of Wisconsin. That day I couldn't find it. So I had to call my representative and I said, hey, where are they holding this? And they weren't quite sure. And then I find out the fake ones were meeting pretty close to the same time in the Capitol. And I thought, what the devil? So I just, you know, this is beyond belief. And the way they're playing this thing is pretty darn sick. And I hope
I love your passion, and you're right on the money. And I'll tell you something. The reason why organized crime and drug cartels wouldn't try it, they wouldn't get away with it. You try all these appeals. I mean, every time they're told to do something, we try to get to the bottom of things. They appeal it. They keep appealing. This has been going on for years. Trump's out of jail. Michael Cohen, his lawyer, went to jail over Stormy Daniels. Alan Weisselberg, his lawyer, is going to go to jail for at least 5 months. Everybody goes to jail except this guy. That's got to change. Thanks for calling, Gene. Thanks very much. Randy of Madison, my friend. Thank you for calling. What's in your mind today, Randy?
Good morning, Matt. This is a call about Donald Trump. And I bet if anyone at your station, I'm using your station loosely because I know you're not an employee, but if anyone there were anal enough to keep count, I guarantee they would find that Trump gets the majority of calls that are about any one person. Not the plurality, but the majority, meaning he beats out every other person combined. I would also give you even money that in the past year and a half, there have been many days when Donald Trump has gotten more press than Joe Biden. And all this is by way of saying that right now, Trump has to be happy as a pig in slop with this much attention. I mean, it's like he's still in office. The guy's a drama queen, and he's a chaos junkie, which are not exactly the same animal, but when you have them in, when you have both in one body, you want to be far away. And I'm convinced that he would be willing to go to jail if it kept him in the spotlight, instead of going back to Mar-a-Lago and rotting.
No, I think you're right, Randy. Back. He sucks the oxygen out of the room. It all comes down to name recognition. And he right now has the same name recognition as Joe Biden for the reason you described. I have to go to a break. I'm going to respond a little further to your call after. Excellent call. Thanks for calling. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, have you ever wondered how authoritarian political systems, they can be communists like China and North Korea, they can be organized crime mafia like Russia, they can be jihadists, whatever they are, how there are no free press systems, no free press, no free newspapers, no free TV. You don't get the full story. One of the greatest political statement in the history of mankind is our First Amendment, separating church and state, saying there's no established religion, and providing for freedom of the press, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly. Well, the Republican Party is giving us a taste of what it would be like if we had a Republican president from the Trump wing of the Republican Party. And I'm going to give you the example, which surprised even me. Because one of the things, one of the bright spots, and there were several of them, that saved our democracy and that shone through even with everything Trump did, was our free press. Another one was our military, which, unlike in other countries, refused to join the coup and was loyal to civilian control. But the free press, if it weren't for the networks, large papers like the Washington Post, the New York Times, Chicago Tribune, Los Angeles Times, and all papers, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and all of them, and some cable like MSNBC, CNN, but not Fox, they all gave a very clear and truthful picture of what was going on. Well, here's a glimpse into what would happen, for instance, if Ron DeSantis, who's from the Trump wing, even though he may run against Trump and he's trying to do it without offending Trump. Here's what happened. Ron DeSantis decided to go to Ohio to campaign for J.D. Vance, who's running for the U.S. Senate in November against Tim Ryan, the Democrat, our candidate, very good guy. J.D. Vance is a peculiar guy. He wrote a book called Hillbilly Elegy, and everybody oohed and aahed over it. And even people on the left thought, you know, this was kind of a blue-collar attack on elitism. They were wrong. It wasn't. And I read it, and it's a trivial book. And I was sorry that I bothered to read it. But in any event, this guy is flat-out Trump. Said, hey, we should abandon Ukraine. What do we care if Putin goes in and genocides them? Trump's on Russia's side. This guy, you know, Ohio, along with Virginia, is called the state of presidents. They more than Virginia, have had the most presidents, believe it or not. And their people, they're Republicans, by and large, but they were mainstream Republicans. This guy is bad news, very bad news. Anyway. DeSantis goes in, and he and Vance decide on the following. There's going to be a rally, but they impose unethical restrictions on the press. So very few legitimate news outlets attended, TV, newspapers. Because they wanted the press, they required the press to sign a promise that said the following things. Number one, the press was not allowed, this is the electronic press, to film speeches and anyone else who didn't want to be recorded. So they couldn't broadcast what was said on the stage, even by DeSantis and Vance. And they couldn't even pan the crowd unless everybody said it was okay. So what they could do basically is sort of pan or shoot, you know, like campaign balloons and things like that, which is free advertising. Secondly, the statement that they were supposed to sign said they could not film or record anything that was put up on a screen on electronic media. In other words, sometimes at these things, there'll be a big TV screen, and then Trump will come on and he'll say, "I support Vance," that kind of thing. They couldn't film or even record that. Third, according to the statement, they agreed that they would not interview attendees in their hotel rooms. Not only couldn't they go up and interview them at the venue, but say the New York Times, the Washington Post, couldn't even go in their hotel rooms or the lobby and interview them. Fourth, any interviews that they wanted to do had to be requested and approved in advance. In other words, it had to go through DeSantis and Vance and their team, and then they would decide whether or not they would permit it, and then they would probably offer up one or two fairly slick-talking types, insiders, who would just repeat campaign mantras. And then five, the media would be required to turn over, the electronic media, all footage for review and approval by Turning Point, which is a right-wing group that was putting this thing on. And they had to give a statement as to what it would be used for. Well, duh, it would be used to broadcast. Yeah, but why are you doing this? This seems vaguely unflattering. Why would you do this? Now, that's something that would happen in China. That's something that would happen in Russia. That would happen in Venezuela and Cuba. It would happen in many African countries. It happened in many Middle Eastern countries with jihadist cultures. But that doesn't happen in the United States. Now, I'm tempted to say, and I don't think that these news organizations would do this, but this was open to the public. Anybody could come and so forth. And nowadays, this technology, you could have a TV camera on a pin on your lapel. You could have a microphone on your belt buckle. You could pick up anything. You could have a camera, tiny little camera, on your other lapel. And I'm surprised that some people, and not necessarily the bigger players, but some didn't go in there like that and just go in there wearing a baseball cap and jeans and come out with a full record. Probably the reason they don't is because there's nothing much going on here. Vance has canceled a lot of appearances. He's behind Tim Ryan in the polls. Early on, a generic race for Senate in Ohio showed the Democrat, whoever it was going to be, behind the Republican by a little bit of a margin, decent margin. Now Vance is behind. He's been endorsed by Trump. But he's so weird, and he says such strange things, and he's such an unpleasant individual that people go, "Oh my God, I can't have that guy." And DeSantis, you know, the guy doesn't smile. The guy doesn't smile. He comes in, and some of the stuff he says is sort of violent and threatening anyway back in Florida. And these two, you know, you're not getting warm fuzzies. You're not getting warm fuzzies. When Ronald Reagan would show up, he would say stuff that was, you know, you would oppose and was unbelievably bad, but he emitted warm fuzzies. Bill Clinton emitted warm fuzzies. If you don't emit some warm fuzzies, even if you are conservative and even if you are coming across as a hard guy, people get the willies. They get the willies. And I'll tell you what, the large press organizations don't want to go in advance to people and ask for permission to film anything. They don't want to go to anybody in advance and say, "We can't even film or record what you're broadcasting already on a screen, so it's already being broadcast." They do not want to be told that they can't go around interview people attending this in their hotels. Political conventions, that happens all the time. I was a delegate in two conventions for our party. And it was a week-long thing. And, yeah, there were press all over the place. They come to the hotels. They'd go. We'd have breakfast in the hotels. They come to the breakfast. They came up. What do you think? Do you think this guy's going to get the nomination? Why are you supporting him? Yeah, I mean, that's what you do. People love it. Get a lot of characters. People from all over Wisconsin were there. It was about 75 delegates we were apportioned that year. One of them was in New York and one was in San Francisco. And they love being on TV. But these people want to control, control, control. The mainstream media doesn't want to have to request interviews in advance through Turning Point, a right-wing group. Face questions. Why do you want to interview them? None of your business. None of your beeswax. And they certainly are never going to turn over footage or notes of the interview for approval by right-wingers who will say, well, yeah, could you rephrase that? Instead of saying this, could you put it that way to make it a little more favorable? And what are you going to use this for anyway? Well, duh, I'm going to print it in the newspaper. I'm going to broadcast it on TV. Well, why are you doing that? And what will the anchor say about that? This is total, this is media control. It's a precursor to what happens in China, North Korea, Russia, Venezuela, Cuba, the Middle East, Africa. It's a precursor to just staged events where they don't even bother for free media to give them any kind of a shot at coming at all, no matter what they agree to. They have two or three docile people, state TV, state newspapers, and the party, Communist Party in China and North Korea, the Organized Crime Party in Russia, Communist Party in Venezuela and Cuba, religious jihadist parties in the Middle East, and then the criminal governments in Africa. They write it themselves and they hand it to the newspaper and they say, you print that. You print that. This is just wrong. This is America. We should not put up with this. But DeSantis and J.D. Vance just did this in Ohio, and it's getting some coverage, but not a lot. And, you know, people who are for DeSantis or for J.D. Vance, I think you've got to come to terms with this. I think at some point you've got to say this isn't America, because this flat out is not America. One good piece of news, the Department of Justice in Wisconsin, the Attorney General's office, just subpoenaed Harry Waite of Racine. Harry Waite is the clown who thought it'd be a good idea to order ballots fraudulently in other people's names. Remember, he got absentee ballots for Robin Voss, Corey Mason, mayor of Racine, other people. And he said, I did it just to show it can be done. It's a crime. Come prosecute me. Okay, they should. Wisconsin Election Commission said it was a crime. A crime is a crime. Here's a little bit of legal advice, unsolicited or not. It doesn't matter if you committed a crime because you say after the fact when you're caught, I did it for a benign purpose, a good purpose. Your intent in committing a crime is irrelevant if it's a crime. You cannot sign up for welfare benefits with a fraudulent application to show that how it can be done. You cannot go into a bar and buy a stolen gun without a registration number and just to show that it can be done. The cops are going to go and the DA is going to go, great. By the way, you're going to the Who's Gal. This clown tried to interfere with our election system by putting in fraudulent information to induce the state to send him absentee ballots for Voss and Corey Mason. And Voss himself blasted the guy. Said that's a criminal thing. He should be prosecuted. Harry Waite. Well, now he got a Department of Justice subpoena. So far, it's an informational subpoena. They want his information. I suspect that nothing's going to happen until after the November elections. Josh Call is up for re-election. There'll probably not be any attempt at criminal prosecution before then. But then after November, we're going to take a good hard look at this. And this guy, Harry Waite, you're going to have people throughout the state doing this kind of stuff to screw up the election, putting in fake information, lying, and some of them may slip through. You know, there are people walk through Mitchell Field Airport in Milwaukee through the metal detector with guns and knives, and they just get municipal ordinance citations. I'd arrest them and put them in jail. Well, we got to do the same thing here. You're going to have Trumpers, clowns, and trolls trying to invade our election system with fraud. Harry Waite has got to be prosecuted. He said, come prosecute me. Okay, Jack, we're going to prosecute you. That is my belief. Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Matt Flynn Director, lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're talking about Ron DeSantis, or we're talking about DeSantis. We're talking about DeSantis in the last segment, and J.D. Vance trying to clamp down on the press. Well, DeSantis, you make errors in a campaign, but this is one that DeSantis, I think, is going to have a hard time living down. He did a Mike Dukakis in the tank routine. I don't know if you remember that. Mike Dukakis was our nominee for president in 1988. And he was looking pretty good in the polls against George H.W. Bush. Pretty good in the polls. He was a Massachusetts governor and I think a good guy. I voted for him. In any event, Mike Dukakis put out a video to show he was tough on defense, and it was him in a tank. Well, first of all, he looked like Snoopy in a tank, you know, because he's not a large guy and his head is sticking out this helmet and he's looking around like, what the heck is this? You know, in general, you should not make tank commercials unless you are a tank soldier, okay? And you simply don't look the part. And of course, he was spoofed and laughed at and all that, and it ultimately hurt him in that campaign. Didn't look legitimate. Well, DeSantis just did the same thing. You know the movie Top Gun that just came out, the Top Gun sequel? Tom Cruise. Well, anyway, DeSantis does a Top Gun ad that he's putting out. And he has a leather Navy pilot jacket with pilot wings. And it's the music from Top Gun. And DeSantis is a tough guy, supposedly. Now, DeSantis was in the Navy, but he was in the JAG Corps. That's the Judge Advocate General. He's a lawyer. So he goes in the Navy. But he flies a desk. What, he sits in a desk? And when I was in the Navy, and I had not yet gone to law school, and we were deploying on a deployment, they sent a JAG officer down to the ship, and he does wills for everybody in the in the ship. And these were sort of Navy wills. Okay, so you go, all right, I leave everything. First of all, nobody on the ship had any money to begin with anyway. But I leave everything to my wife. And then if you're not married, everything to my parents. That's it. That was your chance. So we all signed a will. And that's what JAG officers do. And then he got off the ship and then we deployed. Okay. Well, that's what he was, DeSantis. And suddenly he's Top Gun. Suddenly the guy has a Navy leather jacket with wings on it and music. And it looks like he was a combat pilot. Well, Navy pilots did not take kindly to this. There's one pilot in particular named Ken Harborough who just laughed and mocked him. And he said, this is literally Navy pilot cosplay. Now, the word cosplay means costume play. In other words, there's some people who like to dress up as animals. That's called furry culture. But people dress up as mythical characters. And he said, this is Navy pilot cosplay. Quote, unlike Ron DeSantis, I didn't pick the jacket, this jacket up at Party City. And he pointed to it. He says, these are actual pilot wings. Now this guy, Ken Harborough, is an experienced Navy combat pilot. He's landed on aircraft carriers, taken off from aircraft carriers. Navy pilots just bombed sites in Syria. They put their lives on the line because if they take a missile, they go down. I mean, that's it. And there's a lot of sophisticated missiles that have been sold to places like Syria, Iran, and elsewhere by the Chinese, by the Russians, and these guys take a lot of chances. And so Ken Harborough goes, he's there in his pilot jacket with the pilot wings. He goes, this was literally Navy pilot cosplay. Unlike Ron DeSantis, I didn't pick this jacket up at Party City. These are actual pilot wings. You know, you know, I'm glad that DeSantis did this because it makes him look weird and inauthentic. But, you know, something, you got to use a little common sense. Ronald Reagan, during World War II, just made movies. And he would make informational movies for the Defense Department. So he was in the service, but he didn't go around saying, I was a Marine and I was on Okinawa or something. I mean, the guy, you know, he didn't overplay it. You sometimes don't overplay it. You always should not overplay it. You never should overplay it. Dukakis, you don't put Snoopy in the tank and expect people to vote for president. And with DeSantis, you don't put a JAG lawyer in a Navy pilot with pilot wings, leather jacket, and go, I'm Top Gun. He's not Top Gun. Neither was Tom Cruise, by the way. Ken Harborough is Top Gun. You see, Ken Harborough is Top Gun. And Ken Harborough is not running for president, and DeSantis is. So keep all of this in mind. This segment, I just want to bounce one thing off. It was absolutely fascinating. There was a guest editorial in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, and they proposed, the writer, who is a moderate to left of center, proposed Biden should appoint Liz Cheney as attorney general. And the case he made was that FDR, Franklin Roosevelt, 1940, storm clouds of war were hovering over Europe. World War II started in 1939 with the invasion of Poland by Nazi Germany. Japan was in China, torturing and murdering, genociding Chinese. It was obvious that bad things were going to happen. So what did FDR do? He appointed Henry Stimson as Secretary of War, which is what they call the Secretary of Defense in those days, and Frank Knox as the Secretary of the Navy, because the only way we're going to win this war is with a far superior Navy so that our Marines and Army would have support. Why did he do that? Because Stimson and Knox were Republicans, conservative Republicans. But by appointing them to his cabinet, he made it bipartisan. The isolationists, you know, Charles Lindbergh, the guy that flew nonstop to Europe, Charles Lindbergh was really pro-German. He said, stay out of the war. A lot of people said, stay out of the war. By putting Stimson and Knox in, he neutralized that. So the idea is that Biden, by appointing Liz Cheney as AG, you know, she's conservative. We don't want her on a lot of things, but she would make sure she would aggressively go after Trump on the documents at Mar-a-Lago and on January 6th and be bipartisan. And that is the argument. Now, I would have supported that a month ago. Now it looks like Merrick Garland may be doing some good things. He may be, you know, cracking down. He has a grand jury on the documents in Florida and on January 6th. My fear is that, God forbid, the Democrats lose the House in November and the January 6th committee goes away and Merrick Garland chickens out. 2 years will go by with Biden and Garland in there and we'll have done nothing. So it's something to keep in mind. Liz Cheney for Attorney General. If Garland doesn't show a lot of action fairly soon, not necessarily before the election, but not too long after that, it may be time to put in the big gun, the real big gun, Liz Cheney. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.